Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto-Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's March 21st. It's 2023. We have a six-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Shout out to Looch filling in yesterday. We had some technical difficulties on Friday with the podcast. So it's been a while since I've talked to you and hung out with you all on YouTube. So glad to be back. Glad to have a nice little six-game slate. Joined today by my buddy Tim Buell, Tasteful Tides. What's happening, Tim?
Yeah, Stevie, welcome back from Atlanta. Thanks again for the great work that you do for your NASCAR package there. It's awesome stuff, and I tune into your show every breakdown show that you have, and I have for every show for I think about 6 years now. So I appreciate all the work that you do, and thanks for having me on your show.
Heck yeah, man. Always fun to have you on the Morning Grind. And this week's show was insanely rushed. I felt somewhat bad, but I can't even, like, I had, like, the Atlanta Motor Speedway, like, media center people hooked me up with this spot. And then, like, some of the workers were, like, in the room, like, trying to get stuff done to prep for Sunday morning. And I was like, hey, I'm trying to do a show.
Yeah, I saw you in there, and it was, I could tell it was a little uncomfortable.
It was funny. It was more funny. Yeah. And, like, the press conference started, and it was super loud in my ears. So, hey, we're back from Atlanta. Pumped for the show. What's up, YouTube? Hope you're all having a fantastic Monday night. And if you haven't already, make sure hit the subscribe button. Help us out. We're getting some subscribers over on the Morning Grind YouTube page, building it up. Appreciate you all. And listen, I'm just glad to be back, man. I'm happy to be here. Nice little six gamer for my Monday. This is like my get back in the NBA kind of mood slate. So nice little slate. Let's jump right in. We got Washington at Orlando. 226.5 total in this one. Some books have this as a pick'em. Some books have Wizards minus one. So kind of all over the place. Jalen Suggs and Jonathan Isaac out for Orlando. Washington side, Kyle Kuzma out with an ankle sprain. Going Washington first, you know, a spot where, like, Washington and Orlando are kind of not out of it yet, but they really need to have a good stretch down the road here. Talk to me. What are your thoughts here on Washington, especially with Kuzma out?
Yeah, so, you know, I ran a little bit of a court IQ before we hopped on air with Kuzma out, and, you know, Bradley Beal's usage goes up to 34% in 518 minutes this season without Kuzma on the court. You know, that's about a 4% bump, usage bump for Beal. So he's grading out pretty solidly. Obviously, Porzingis, he gets up to about a 30% usage rate. Not a humongous difference over his season average of only 1.8% increase. The play that I wanted to talk about, and it's not so much that he rates out in terms of strong usage, but Denny Avdija really does a great job of filling up the stat sheet without actually making real life points. You know, he's a really, really strong rebounder. He's got a solid assist rate, and he kind of just does it all. And he's only 5K tomorrow, and he should play minutes in the upper 20s, low 30s. So I really like Denny Avdija, and obviously, you know, Beal should grade out really well in projection systems tomorrow. So he should be a really, really strong play.
Yeah, I mean, the price at 8,400, Orlando is a team that struggles guarding the perimeter. They have all season. So I think this is a spot Bradley Beal could have a really strong game. Only 34 fantasy points against Orlando earlier this season, which Kuzma played in that game and Porzingis played in that game. So now we're taking Kuzma off the floor. You talked about court IQ. Have a ton of interest in Porzingis as well at 8,900. He's someone that definitely sees a rebounding increase with Kuzma off the floor. So this could be a double-double type of spot for a guy like Porzingis. I like the Denny call. Definitely don't mind him. And tournament-wise, large field tournaments, if you're playing a bunch of teams, I think you flip a coin between Casper or Morris if you're trying to attack some upside. I don't really have a lean either way. I think Casper is going to play more minutes, and minutes equal opportunity. I think when Morris gets hot, he doesn't stop shooting. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, he's someone that can get up to the 28 to 35 point range fantasy-wise. On my Orlando Magic, the prices are finally down enough where it's like, all right, now, like, maybe I can play some Paolo. Maybe I can play some Fultz. The Jalen Suggs concussion and him being out is super interesting here for Orlando because it definitely, like, bumps up a guy like Cole Anthony. He's someone that should really play close to 30 minutes at 5,900 here. We know that Fultz is going to play really solid minutes for the Magic, and he's shown some big upside here recently. So I think if I had to rank the Magic as far as my interest, it would probably be Fultz, Paolo, Wendell Carter Jr., Franz, Anthony. But I think, like, if you're playing a Beal or a Porzingis, running it back with any of those five players makes a lot of sense. So give me your thoughts here on the Magic.
Yeah, when I look at these prices, I see a lot of floor, but I am concerned about ceiling, really. I feel like, you know, guys like you said, like Anthony, are going to play about 27, 29 minutes. Banchero's really hit a wall lately. And while he's only 7,200, you know, he is a really good candidate, I would say, for about 38 fantasy points. But I'm really concerned that he's not going to be able to hit like a true ceiling to win you a tournament. I would say if I had to rank Orlando, I would go Wendell Carter, Banchero, Fultz, Anthony, and then Wagner. That would be my power rank of them, but I'm hoping that we can get to this a little bit better plays that I think have more ceiling later in the show.
We are. It's more like my interest in the Magic is one, six game slate. Two, I have a ton of interest in Beal and Porzingis. So hoping the game stays close and competitive. I mean, seeing some pick'em lines and stuff like that definitely makes me more interested in this game. But at the end of the day, we also have to remember, like, the Orlando Magic, they've been playing better defense. If we look at, like, the last 15-ish games, they're 13th in defensive rating, where Washington is a team that kind of teetering, but even in that, like, mid-19-ish range in that same span. But both of these teams, at the end of the day, play really slow. That's always concerning. I will note, and I've noticed this from watching the games, the Magic have been playing a lot faster here recently. They're ninth in pace over the last 15 games in the NBA, and they're typically a bottom 20 team. So just throwing that out there. We got Detroit at Atlanta up next, 238.5 total. The Hawks are a 12.5-point favorite against the Pistons. On the Atlanta side of things, DeJounte Murray is questionable, illness, non-COVID related. And then on the Detroit side, Bogdanović, Burks, Cunningham, Diallo, Duren, Stewart out, Livers, and Hampton questionable. Going Detroit first, ton of people out here. But the thing that like instantly perks to my ears is Duren out. Every time Duren has been out, I have a ton of interest in Wiseman. It seems like they really want to see what he has. They've been playing him really solid minutes here down the stretch. I mean, I have a ton of interest in Wiseman, and I hate playing the Detroit guards, so I probably leave Ivy and Hayes out. But taking shots on Wiseman, I think, is fine. After that, I mean, there's some questionable potential plays here. With, like, Eugene getting minutes, it's kind of like potentially hurt the upside for Bagley here recently. So I really think it's Wiseman, and that might be it. I don't mind like a wing type of player like McGruder against Atlanta. This is a position they struggle with. So maybe McGruder and Wiseman for me for Detroit today.
Yeah, I love the Wiseman call. You know, it's the third week in March, and we're, you know, still in the NBA regular season, and this Detroit team is kind of – they've been tough lately, kind of figuring out the rotations and understanding kind of like where they're at in terms of the minutes. I will say, you know, like if Livers sits and Hampton sits, they're going to be really, really thin. So we might be forced into playing some of these guys that we're kind of uncomfortable with. But yeah, I love the Wiseman call. I think if I had to pick one of these guards, it would be Jaden Ivey for me, but that's kind of like it. It obviously could be Killian Hayes, but I think I would prefer Ivey of the two.
Just something to note really quick too. Charlotte is now up to 23 wins. Detroit really doesn't need to tank anymore. They're at that point where they really could see what they have kind of brewing with some of these young players for the next year and stuff like that, and seeing like where they need to attack in the draft and stuff like, you know, just in general. So they really like, that's why I think we've seen a little bit better rotations here recently. You know, Wiseman getting the minutes, McGruder getting the minutes, Hayes and Ivy getting the minutes. Like, they don't necessarily need to tank anymore. You know, they could win four games and be like, all right, let's just lose out. But they're in that position now where they don't need to tank anymore. So I do think like taking some shots on Detroit down the stretch is going to be a little bit easier than what it was a month ago.
I never thought I would see a $5,700 McGruder. I'm still, that still looks so weird to me.
I know. It's crazy. All right. Atlanta. I mean, DeJounte potentially being out for this game could be somewhat big. It could open up like maybe some extra minutes for Bogdanović, who's pretty cheap here at 4,900. I think a guy like Hunter, he's already kind of playing really solid minutes, so I don't know if he would get extra run. I could potentially see it being like AJ Griffin, who's gotten some really decent run here recently, but I think not wanting to like overlook the facts. Like if DeJounte is out, we are playing Trae Young at 9,600 against Detroit. Like I don't want to forget the like hammer that home because he's a fantastic play with DeJounte off the floor. And then we add in the matchup with one of the worst defenses in the league. The pace of this game should be fantastic. Trae Young has a 38.8% usage rate this season with DeJounte off the floor, averaging 1.54 fantasy points per minute. Give that a little bump for Detroit, and you're just crossing your fingers hoping this one stays close because DeJounte being out means Trae Young's going to smash.
Yeah, he's a plus 6.2 usage over his normal rates with DeJounte out. So, I mean, yeah. You're just really, like you said, you're just hoping Detroit keeps this game close. I mean, almost a 40% usage rate. He's going to be, you know, 9,600. He's going to be too cheap. You know, like that's too cheap of a tag if Murray sits. So it really comes down to, you know, who else, you know, what other Atlanta players are going to get there. And I would say that Bogdanovich would be the leading candidate. You know, he gets a slight little bump with Murray off, you know, 1.4% increase in usage. So, you know, I think that, you know, you're going to be smashing, Young if Murray's out. I think that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah. I mean, so DeJounte is a 35-ish minute player a night. So if he's out, someone has to play the minutes. And I really think it would be a mix between like Sadiq Bey, Bogdanovich, AJ Griffin, kind of looking at their rotations recently. They have like a 9-man rotation recently. So I don't know like if they do much different. I don't know if it's like, hey, you know, we'll run out some Aaron Holiday for 15 minutes type of thing. But Atlanta has a pretty tight rotation right now. And I think that's something that we can take advantage of in this spot. Atlanta's in the 8 seed right now. You know they're going to come out trying to beat Detroit by 30 in this game. So, ton of interest in Atlanta.
And look how cheap like Clint Capella is, 5,800. Like, I mean, I know he's going to be the first one that sits if it's a blowout, but he could easily go for 40 in like 25 minutes. And if he does happen to get like 32, 33, something like that, he could put up 50 in this spot. So just don't forget about Clint Capella. Don't forget about John Collins. Like I know John Collins has not been good this year, but 5,400, you know, another one of these spots where like he could absolutely just crush that price tag in three quarters.
I forgot about John Collins a long time ago. Moving on, yeah. We got Cleveland at Brooklyn, 218.5 total in this game. Cleveland is a 3-point favorites. One interesting thing to kind of note here is this game has an 8-point lower implied total than any other game on this slate. So really quick, the injury report, Brooklyn side, Finney Smith is questionable. Ben Simmons is out. Cleveland side, Jared Allen is questionable. That's really it for them. So like looking and I don't know, you know, obviously Cleveland's a fantastic defensive team. Brooklyn is a team that has gotten a little bit better defensively here since the trades. Brooklyn plays pretty slow. Cleveland plays pretty slow. I don't think the total is actually that crazy being this low. So definitely kind of looked into it a little bit when I saw that. We'll go Cleveland first. I mean, obviously, I think the first thing that matters for Cleveland is does Jared Allen play or not? This would be 10 days for him if he sits his last game. It's an eye contusion. And if he comes back, I expect him to play pretty close to normal minutes outside of just missing it. So, like, maybe 26 to 30 minutes. He's 6,200. That's a fair price tag. I mean, Mitchell, 8,800. His ceiling seems kind of capped recently. I think a lot of that has to do with like LeVert just playing so well recently. What are your thoughts on Cleveland?
You know, you make a really good point about the total. It's a very, very low total, but it's also a very, very close spread. And so I feel like, you know, the minutes for these guys, these usual pieces for Cleveland are going to be really, really secure. and really, really high. And, you know, the prices kind of just for this whole slate seem kind of soft. You know, it seems like, you know, Darius Garland, 7,500. I feel like there's plenty of ceiling with that price. Donovan Mitchell, plenty of ceiling for 8,800. Like, you know, they're gonna play their normal allotment of minutes, I would assume here. So I really like them, and I would imagine that they're probably not gonna pop too hard. So you're probably gonna have to hand build these guys in because they're just not gonna show up at optimizers because this game total is gonna keep projections on them, I would assume, fairly low. I would assume like if Allen sits, then Mobley would become a pretty popular play. And I obviously would not blame anybody if they wanted to fire him up for 7,700. I think he would be a really solid play. Rubio's price, he's up to 4K. Like he was like hanging around 3,500. You know, he's going to play about 20 minutes and he's pretty safe, but his ownership has been kind of high the last couple slates, and I don't think he has much of a ceiling. So if he is kind of showing up high up in the points per dollar, you know, section of projections, I think I would stay away. Like I have not liked his ownership the last couple of slates, just been too high for a guy who doesn't have much of a ceiling.
Well, he was 3,100 last slate.
Right.
I think that has a lot to do with, you know, a guy playing 20 minutes, getting 20 fantasy points at 3,100.
Right.
He's getting ownership now that he's 4K. You hope that he gets ownership at 4K. You know, yeah. 20 points at 4K is not enough.
Yeah.
Even on a six game slate. Brooklyn side of this game, I mean, obviously we're starting to see Brooklyn get normalized rotations here. If Finney Smith sits, it obviously could open up minutes. He's someone that plays a bunch of minutes. What he's in like the 25 to, or not 25, like 35 ish range minutes when he's healthy and good to go. It was like it's a wrist injury, so we'll have to see like if he plays or not. I could definitely see bumping up a guy like Cam Johnson if we get news that Finney Smith is going to sit, but I could also see, you know, maybe playing a little bit of Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas is 3,300. Could get 20-ish minutes if Finney Smith sits. So watching that, ceiling-wise, I think your ceiling guys for Brooklyn, still Dinwiddie and Bridges. If Allen is out, I could definitely see taking some shots on Claxton, but overall I don't love the matchup. You know, Cleveland's such a good defensive team that even on a six-game slate, I don't have to lock anything in when it comes to the Brooklyn side.
Right now, I don't have interest in any of these guys. Like, you know, I don't feel like we have any reason to attack Cleveland. You know, it's just, I think Dinwiddie's price is getting a little bit too high. I think if there was one guy I would take shots on, it'd be Bridges because, you know, he has such high volatility, which is what we really, really want in GPPs. And I imagine that his ownership is going to be quite low tomorrow. So if there's one Nets player that I would take shots on, it'd be Bridges.
All right. San Antonio at New Orleans. This game has a 235.5 total. The Pelicans are an 11-point favorite. On the New Orleans side, Jose Alvarado is out. Zion Williamson is out. On the San Antonio side of things, Bassey, Birch, Collins, Sohan, Vassell out, Trey Jones doubtful, Devontae Graham questionable. Lots of process there. We get to start with the San Antonio side of things. I mean, if Trey Jones sits.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I don't know if it matters if Graham plays or not in that, if Trey Jones is out. I think you have to have a lot of Branham interest at 5,100. He's going to play a bunch of minutes, have a lot of usage. I think Langford is someone that all he needs is a few extra minutes in, like, he's someone that could do well. I guess I'm kind of overlooking the fact that Keldon Johnson is probably where I should have started. His usage is going to be bonkers in this game. Like, there's just no one playing. And assuming that, like, what are we thinking? We're thinking if Graham plays, it's probably Graham, Branham, Johnson, Bates, Diop, and Sandro starting.
Yes, I would assume.
Yes. So in that scenario, like, Graham, Branham, and Johnson are going to get all the usage. We look at Keldon's last three games, 34, 24, 34% usage rate in those games. It's fantastic. Like, he's 7,400 and he's someone that's capable of 50 plus fantasy points on a 6-game slate. So don't love the matchup, but I mean, San Antonio, they don't care. Like, they're going to play these guys minutes, blowout or not. What are your thoughts here on the Spurs?
That last part was exactly what I was going to say. Like, he's going to play 34, 35 minutes no matter what. And with all these guys already ruled out, he might be the best place play in the slate so far, other than Trae Young, if Murray sits. But I mean, he's like a lock and load cash game play, single entry play. He's going to be a decision point for large field tomorrow. Keldon is a top play, and 7,400 is just going to be, he's just going to be way, way too cheap. Doesn't matter if Graham plays. Graham doesn't move the needle. You know, he's not like a big time usage guy. So don't let that, sway your decision. Johnson's going to be a top play.
If Graham plays, I have a lot of interest in him at 5K. He's someone that can get rebounds. He's someone that can get assists. He's capable of double doubles with points and assists. Like, he's someone that can go like 20-10-5. So if he plays at 5K, and these guys are just going to play minutes because they don't have a lot of bodies at the end of the day. That's what it is. So, their bench would be McDermott, Langford, Dang, Barlow, Wesley. Like, yeah, these guys are going to play minutes.
Yeah, Wesley might actually be interesting too for 3,800. If Graham sits, like, Wesley is going to be popping in projections tomorrow for sure, and he could end up being a really, really interesting value.
Oh, he is definitely someone that I completely overlooked. I also think, like, because it is a 6-game slate, I'm not even going to try to pronounce Sandro's last name. No chance for me. He's 4,200, and Collins is already ruled out. Like, this guy's going to play minutes. He's someone that has shown that he's capable of double-doubles. So another guy that I don't mind taking shots on a 6-game slate.
We don't have a huge opportunity cost at center on this slate, which is one of the first things I noticed. Like, we don't have Jokic. We don't have Embiid. You know, we don't have that huge cost at center for the slate. So I think he's going to be a really, really strong play.
Sabonis in a really tough matchup with Boston too.
Right.
And on Sacramento's on a second end of back-to-back. So the Sabonis is the pay-up at 10-4 and back-to-back in a tough matchup. So we'll talk about that It's actually the next game we're going to talk about, so we'll talk about that here in a second. The New Orleans side, the flip side of like Sandro playing and these guys being out is Valanciunas should have a field day. He's 6,600. There's the center play that I had written down that I had a ton of interest in. CJ McCollum's 8K. He could definitely crush in this spot. Shooting, it seems to be getting a little bit better. Makes me wonder if that wrist is starting to get a little bit better. My only concern with like Ingram and McCollum is the game staying close. Large field tournaments, I think you have them in your player pool because if the game does stay close, like if you're playing Ingram or McCollum, you're taking shots on like Keldon Johnson. You're hoping that like you get the monster game from both of them. Type of things. But yeah, I mean, ton of interest in Valanciunas. Again, though, like my only concern with Valanciunas, if this game gets out of hand, the dude plays 20 minutes because he's the first one off the court and they have no problem not bringing him back at any point when this game gets out of hand.
Yeah, I think this is something that, like, if you're using lineup HQ, you should build some rules about kind of like,
this game.
Yeah, you have to for this game because, like, you can't get too deep into this game. And then have it be a blowout, and then all of a sudden you've got all your spots taken up with this game. Like you've got to build this game so that it stays close. Like, you know, obviously Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Joe Val, all great plays against the San Antonio Spurs. The only issue is it gonna be a blowout? It's an 11-point spread. Arguably, I feel like that should be even higher. It's a little bit risky, but you know, make sure you build your team so that this game stays close. That's the only way you can win with this game in the tournament.
Also, just going to throw this out here: this is a large field tournament play only. Large field tournament play only. Larry Nance Jr. This guy is capable of playing 12 minutes. If the game blows out, he will play 20 plus minutes. So, if you're building for a blowout, he's 3,800 in 20 minutes. He's a guy that can produce a fantasy point per minute. So just throwing Larry Nance Jr. out there, I think he'll end up being pretty low owned. And if you're building for a blowout, which I hate predicting blowouts, I've said this for years. I hate even trying to predict blowouts because anybody can beat anybody on any given night in the NBA, and it's just a fact at this point. All right, Boston at Sacramento. We got a 238.5 total in this game. The highest total on the slate. Boston Celtics, a 4.5-point favorite. This total matches the Atlanta total for what it's worth. Sacramento second in the back-to-back. And on the Boston side, Gallinari's out and Pritchard is out. So Sacramento, we know that Kevin Huerter didn't play Monday with a knee, right? Pretty sure it was a knee. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to play. So I assume it might have been just a, hey, we'll sit you on the front end maybe type of thing. But I don't know. Anytime you're an active player and then like a knee pops up, you're like, is he going to play? All right. Boston first. Fantastic matchup for Brown and Tatum. It's a 6-game slate. Raw points matter. Tatum and Brown are both capable of like 60 plus fantasy point games. You could take a discount with Brown, $1,500, but I think they're both top options on today's slate.
Yeah, before I saw the whole Trae Young and Atlanta Hawks potential situation, I had this game circled. I had Tatum and Jaylen Brown circled as my top plays on the slate. I was like, this is an unbelievable spot for Boston. Being able to attack the Kings on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, high total, close spread. But, you know, it's like now we got this whole Trae Young situation at 9,600. So it's like, do you prioritize Trae Young or do you prioritize Jason Tatum? Do we have enough salary where we can play both? Do we have enough value? I mean, right now I'm not so sure. So it's kind of one of those tough situations where, you know, who do you prioritize? But you're absolutely right. This is an amazing spot for Boston, and I'm hoping that we can get some value that opens up so that we can get to Tatum and we can get to Jaylen Brown pretty easily.
We have a really strong 10 o'clock game, too, that poses the interest of, like, hey, you know, we have studs on that game as well. Standalone 10 o'clock game, too. So I think it's a really interesting slate from the aspect of lineup construction. And anytime you have interesting slates when it comes to lineup construction, I just get excited. My ears perk up. I still think that's a lot of where the edge is in daily fantasy is lineup construction. So with that said, I think you can play two studs on this slate because of the San Antonio value and Detroit value. There's still some underpriced players in those games where, I mean, especially if Graham sits, and now we're getting Wesley at 3,800 type of play. So,
but maybe this. If you're, do you think there's a chance that this game might get squeezed because of the 10:30 game?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know, man. These 2 10 o'clock games are just fantastic. So,
yeah.
All right, Sacramento side of this one, tough matchup for Sabonis and Fox, but man, Vegas is expecting this game to stay close. They're so expensive that it's so hard to say I want to play these guys. But if I'm playing Tatum, I could definitely look at Fox at 8,300. I think Sabonis is the odd man out for me today. So he's probably going to score like 70 fantasy points. But I really just think like he's the guy that I'm probably not getting to. I will note that if Herter is out, I still have a ton of interest in Malik Monk at 5,200, even in a tough matchup.
Yeah, I've been playing Sabonis like every single game for the last like 4 or 5 games, and he's been crushing. And he's come in really low owned, or at least a lot lower owned than I was expecting, like 15, 16%, 10%, you know, like really, really, you know, pretty not chalky. And so it's not a good spot for Sabonis, but if he's going to be really, really low owned, I'm going to have to continue to go back, you know, to him, you know, in large field stuff. Obviously, it's not a cash game play. Probably not if you're building one team, but if you're making multiple teams, I really like getting to Sabonis. It could be a really good buy low spot for De'Aaron Fox. Again, not a good matchup, but this Kings team is legit. And, you know, they're going to be fired up for this game. So I think that they're going to come in really low owned, and I think that they're okay for large field. But no one's really sticking out for me for like a cash game or a 1-3 setting.
Yeah, just a really quick note. With Herter out on the Monday night game, Keegan Murray got a minute bump in the first half. So he might be someone that if he's going to get a minutes bump, that is super interesting. And Kessler Edwards got a first half minutes bump. So be interested to see how the rotations kind of play out and looking at that, you know, tomorrow morning. We finish it out with the Thunder and the Clippers. Kind of just hinted at this game, right? 236.5 total. Clippers a 7-point favorite. The injury report for this one, Norman Powell's out. Holmgren, Poku, and Kendrick Williams remain out for the Thunder. Let's get into this game. We'll start with the Thunder. SGA is 9,800, and he's obviously capable of big games. He's gone for 54 fantasy points on average in 2 matchups against this team this season. Might be the odd man out as far as like top end plays where he has similar ceiling as all these guys. Let's talk Thunder first. What are your thoughts here on OKC?
Yeah, SGA is the only really guy that sticks out. But again, he's that same price point as Trae Young, same price point as Jason Tatum. So it's kind of really like, who do you prioritize here? Obviously, SGA, I think in a vacuum, is too cheap. Like, he's a guy that should be 10K or above every slate, every time he plays. But we know that he's got a really, really solid floor. But I just think that, you know, given the context of this slate, I think he's going to be a pass for me. Like, that could obviously burn me. But you're going to have to make a stand with these studs. So I think he's going to be the odd man out for me in terms of this 10K range. In terms of guys going lower, I guess you could go to Josh Giddey. Like, he always has kind of a solid tournament winning upside. And then Lou Dort. But, you know, honestly, the rest of this, the low-end guys for the Thunder would be a pretty strong pass for me.
All right, the Clippers side, I mean – obviously, Kawhi and Paul George in a matchup with the Thunder seems juicy. The minutes for Russell Westbrook are becoming a thing again. I want them to be not a thing, and I want, you know, Kawhi to kind of keep smashing. Zubac is quietly playing really well here recently, kind of just eating all of Mason Plumlee's minutes up. And then Eric Gordon is doing Eric Gordon things. He's playing 30 minutes and just kind of shooting when he's open. Talk to me here about the Clippers.
I love Russell Westbrook in this spot. 7,100, going to play about 35 minutes, probably 32 minutes. I think he's got a huge, huge ceiling in this matchup. He's my favorite play. Zubac would be my second guy in. If you're going to play two Clippers, then I would put SGA in that lineup. But, yeah, like Kawhi, Paul George, obviously are great, great plays, but I would prioritize, like, if I'm paying up for forward, I'm going to prioritize Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. So, again, they get a little bit of, they get a little bit squeezed out for me. You know, it's like you go, you always got to rate these plays and you can't just play everybody. So I would prefer getting to Tatum, but obviously, you know, Kawhi and George, I mean, they're solid plays. It's a great matchup. But I think if I had to prioritize one, it'd be Russ, believe it or not, which seems weird. It doesn't thrill me, but he's been good.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Again, appreciate everyone hanging out with us on YouTube. If you haven't already, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Help us out. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who's the cheap guy that you're looking at here night before?
Ooh. Well, let's go Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the right side of that Graham news, that's fantastic. I'm going to go, again, I am not even going to remotely try to pronounce this guy's last name, but give me Sandro from the Spurs. I'm going to Google how to pronounce it and see if I can do it next show, but I'm not even going to try. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today?
I'm going to go with Kawhi.
I'm going to go with Spencer Dinwiddie today. Cleveland is a death match for guards. And even if Finney Smith sits, I don't think that's really going to affect Dinwiddie. This is a really, really tough matchup. Kudos to him if he crushes in this matchup. Favorite 6X play today. Who do you got?
Keldon.
Yeah, like that a lot. Fantastic spot for him. I'm going to go – if I knew – for what it's worth, if I knew that Murray wasn't going to play, I would take Trae Young in a heartbeat for this question. Not knowing that if he's going to play or not, I think this is a really, really good spot for Jaylen Brown. I think this is going to be a competitive basketball game. They're on the road. So give me Jaylen Brown for 6X today. Again, I think this is a 50 fantasy point game for Jaylen Brown today. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Darius Garland.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go Fultz from the Orlando Magic. I don't think he'll get a lot of ownership today. I think the 7K range is kind of weird. Depending on like how you're building. So give me Fultz. I think he's capable of 50 plus in this matchup against Washington. Any bets or fantasy pick'em plays standing out to you here night before?
I want the Celtics -3.5. Some places it's 4.5. So I know it's their, you know, road favorites are kind of sketchy sometimes, but I like the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that is super solid. I have no issues with that. I like the Cavs -2.5. If you get this the night before, like I might have like go and write this up on Scores and Odds like right after we get done. If you can get this night before at -2.5, Finney Smith is a lot of the reason that Brooklyn's been playing really good defense here recently. So if he's out, that's going to hurt that defense just enough. I think that just looking at the numbers overall, we look at the last 15 games, the Cleveland Cavs are fourth in net rating. Brooklyn's 25th in that span. So a lot of interest here in Cleveland. Yeah, minus – I know this game's in Brooklyn, but this line just seems off. So Cleveland minus 2.5. All right, to wrap it up, Tim, always appreciate you hanging out. Thanks for everyone hanging out with us here live and listening to us on the podcast version of the show. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more hoops. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.